title, Why Do Paul People, I call them Paul People, and remember, I think this is something that we have to consider here, is we make such an emphasis on Paul. And I think the reason I think it's so important is because, remember I said, when the Great Commission came out, it actually divided the Bible to people. They give us grief for, you know, dividing up the book. No, we're not dividing and choosing the book what we want. But if a normal reader would just go from the Old Testament through the Gospels to Paul to the back books, they would recognize that there's a following there. There's a dispensational order without even making a big thing about it. But when they popped in the Great Commission emphasis from that missionary, William Carey, and brought the foreign field into America and started this miracles and signs and wonders stuff, that we have to actually pull people out of that mess and show them the separation that takes place. And so that's why somebody says, well, where was this 100 years ago? Well, 100 years ago, this emphasis wasn't really needed. You preach the whole book and divide it right and talk about it correctly, you can do that. And if I was at a church with a congregation and kids and the whole spiel, we'd have Sunday school, we'd be teaching the Old Testament, we'd be breaking this thing down, we'd be teaching the Gospels. But this website and myself is just more concerned right now trying to put out the Paul thing, as I call it, I guess, the Greater Commission, to see if we can't shake a few boots here and get some people to realize there's a difference there. Then the studying comes later. So when we see things and we get excited about what it is that we see, I'm going to ask this question because I'm seeing this happen more and more, and I understand why. And like it says here in my thing here, I guess you don't see the notes. I have the notes up this afternoon. Why do Paul people no longer want the Paul stuff? Or like it says in Romans 11, continue in his goodness. Now let's going to try to slow down to some of this stuff, which is not par for me at all, but let's look at Romans 11. Romans 11, 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, and that would be the Jews, the Old Testament, and this is where people, when you preach the severity of God today, people don't want to believe in a God that mean and cruel and judgmental and women hateful and mean to the men and mean to their children, because you know when they threw the fire when Daniel had the fire thing going on, the guards were thrown in. I think it was a fire story, and the guards were thrown in and their family. So yeah, that's pretty rough. And if people preach that God is going to, you know, chastise the family because of something the father did or said, that's a very scary thing, but that's not what we're talking about today with Paul. So the Jews in the Old Testament got the severity, but toward thee, which you know would be the Gentiles, if there's a big if, thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now again, that's not an individual person, that's the nation, that's the Gentile nation. So when the Gentile nation doesn't want to continue in his goodness any longer, then the Gentile nation will be cut off, and as far as I can tell, I mean, it has to be the rapture with what takes place. It's not the second coming. So if there's proof of a rapture, there it is. And a falling away, and there's all sorts of things that are going to take place after that, but still, we know that things are falling apart. We know that that which is good is being called evil, and we see all those things taking place, which I know it comes out of Isaiah. So that's fine. We don't ignore it like the mid-axers tend to do, or some of the Paul Hyper crowd out there. So we know that this is going to take place, that they're not going to want to continue, which we know they aren't, in his goodness. And how much longer can we go rejecting and not continuing in the goodness of God? So my whole point here is, Let's find out. Let's look at some more. We've probably even talked about this before. Let's find out some things here, some scriptural things, what it is that causes people to turn their ears when they used to listen to Paul's teachings. What would cause them to not believe after they heard and said they believe? What would cause that to go away? Why would anybody want to reject what it is that Paul has to teach? Why do some folks give up? Why do some folks quit or just walk away? Look at Acts 16. Why would somebody, looking at Acts 16 here, I'm sorry, 26, that's not a 1, that's a 2, 26, 18, when it says here, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, why would anybody want to go close their eyes again and go back to that darkness? Why would they want to go back to the power of Satan? Why would they want to have to confess and go back to this lack of supposed forgiveness from God? Why would they go back and want to, and actually if they believe this, want to lose this inheritance? Why would they not want the faith that Paul preaches, the faith of Jesus Christ, as well as our faith in Christ? So, we'll come back to that, because I see some answers even in those verses right there. But let's continue this introduction this morning, and then we'll get into it more heavily, much more heavily tonight. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. Now, you'll see on the notes when they get put up there, let me ask this question in one breath now. Why would anybody want to turn their ears from Paul's teachings, not believe, reject, give up, quit, walk away, change back to what they were changed from? Not that they can, you know, because they're sealed and that sort of a thing, but in their day-to-day walk. After all, okay, now this after all is like part two. After all, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. After all, it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. Now we are. We're no longer in that fallen image. We are physically, but not our soul. And the spirit we have is the spirit of God. So now, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Then it says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, so why would we want to give this up with all these reasons coming up if now that we're saved, we are saved unto good works, and we should walk in those good works, knowing, well, I won't elaborate on these things as much as I like to. Let's look at First Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to have to start writing my ones and sevens a little better than that. Verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So why would we want to, you know, reject that sort of a thing? But they do. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. These are all verses we know. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. But see, these folks, and I'm not thinking of anybody particular. I just see it happening, and it actually has to happen, you know, because he says it's going to when he cuts off the nation of Gentiles. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, so we're alive. We need to make those sacrifices holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, it's wrong to go back from that standpoint. Romans chapter 8. Let's go back a couple of pages here. Making some notes here too as well. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. I mean, why would anybody reject and turn their ears from it, according to these after all, in Romans chapter 8? verse 8. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That person would be walking in sin, as he put on everybody. But if you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, etc., etc., as it says here, then you are not in the flesh. You are not in sin. Sin is in us, but we're not in it. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So our body is, like it says, dead because of sin. And the sin is still there, following Paul's teachings. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, which he does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. See, and I see, as I look at some of these, as I read these things slowly, I see that we see some summaries here. We, not to the flesh. People really, bottom line, is they just go back to the flesh. Anyway, keep going here. To live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So we're going to die because of our flesh. The flesh is going to die, but we are not. And those that do not have Christ is talked about in Revelation 20, the second death, when they go to the lake of fire, and yet they still exist. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, why would we want to turn our ears from the truth? Why would we want to quit believing what we've been reading? Why would we reject all this stuff when we see what these things say in Ephesians and Thessalonians and Romans? Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? This is all according to Paul. So why? If we know that the goodness of God, why do we get angry at God and quit this stuff? Now, I know people are busy. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a vacation away from the Bible, or we're just so busy not to look at it, or, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that just suddenly or over time turn their ears from it. Again, knowing that Romans 11 tells us it's going to go that way, so don't be surprised. Well, that's why I'm not surprised, but maybe we can keep some of us from fading on this thing. If we look at this thing scripturally, you'll probably find yourself in here somewhere. And maybe you're just on the brink of bagging it all. You know, like we had talked yesterday, one of you out there, that somebody challenges you with something, and then you find yourself, well, what if I'm wrong? Because so few people want to pay any attention to Paul's stuff. Well, but the scriptures say that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, we'll get into that a little bit. Now, we've learned over time, rightly dividing makes all the sense in the world. Anybody who's preaching something other than what Paul says can now be exposed without any problem by their getting it from, if they're getting it from Bible at all, they're getting it from the wrong dispensation, the wrong part of the Bible. That's pretty simple. We understand the operation made without hands, how we're separated from our flesh, so there is still sin there, and we still follow it, but because Christ doesn't look at that as sin, and yet it grieves the Spirit of God which is in us, doesn't make that he's thrilled with it, that the works that we're doing, good or bad, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ will not be judged today. So we feel like we realize that we're actually, or we think we're actually getting away with something when we're not. It's going to come back and bite us. Or we didn't get rewarded like we thought we should have for doing the right witness or saying the right thing. Well, it's coming. Don't be in a hurry. We understand the judgment seat of Christ to be based on Paul, even though Jesus Christ is still the judge. As God says, the judgment is given to his son. But Jesus Christ is going to base his judgment on what he taught as the risen Savior. We understand about religion. We've learned about that we are actually to despise religion, and if someone who doesn't despise their religion may still be in it, and we'll deal with that in detail. We understand that the blessings we receive now are spiritual blessings, and the actual reward of physical things will come later at the judgment seat of Christ. We've come to understand flesh and sin. We've come to understand the righteousness of ourselves, and compare that with the law, that we don't need to worry about that. Righteousness is the law is no longer our guide for righteousness, for as Christ took care of that in Romans chapter 10. We follow Paul now for that righteousness, which is in the King James Bible, by the way, but we know that. So why, those few things that I mentioned, would somebody just quit listening, quit following, reject, give up, quit, walk away, change back? Now, if you mention that to somebody, they would probably disagree that they've turned their ears. They would not say we don't believe. We just don't believe what you're saying about it. The Mid-Acts guys and me could get into a lot of discussions about things because we agree with a lot of things. But the things that I don't see taking place in my observations is they sure do seem to stay away from some of the harder verses in Timothy and Titus when it comes to the walk. Well, why would they? Well, no, I wonder how many of them are quitting. Not very many. Well, see, then they're more right than you are. Well, I'm not looking for who's right more than the other person. My King James Bible is right. My King James Bible is perfect. It is that which has come. And from a spiritual realm, this book is a spiritual and a physical book. It's the link between God in heaven and us on earth. So we just do the best we can with it. But there's something about Paul that people don't like. I think we tend to realize that it's the walk that everybody, because it's their flesh, you know. And we realize that. But we're going to break this thing down into some specific things here tonight and probably Wednesday. So the question is, why? How does it happen? And then the question is, are you next? And you're probably going to say, well, I can't imagine. Of course not. I'm never going to turn this stuff down and turn away. Well, I've heard that from some of these folks, and thought we had them on our side and the whole thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll probably just do one this morning, one thought here, maybe two. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we need to be careful that it could happen to you. It could happen to me. We know that we're not talking about stopping sinning. They had to stop sinning in the Gospels. They had to stop sinning in the Old Testament. They'll have to stop sinning during the tribulation. They'll have to stop sinning and not sin even in the millennium. But during this dispensation of grace, we're not told to stop sinning. Christ just takes care of sin, period. Gets rid of, takes that law, does what he does. He fulfills the law. And then if we ask him to be our Savior and put our faith and trust in him, then we no longer have the law to deal with. Now, how better can you fix something? Maybe it's just in how I present it or other people present it, that the people want to get caught up. Well, we'll get to that in a few minutes here. I mean, that's, even if they don't believe it, and a lot of them don't, God can't do that. Well, so you think you have to stop sinning. There's the pressure on people. And then the folks that do catch on to the Paul thing somewhat get caught up with the teachings and the brain of and heart and grace, and they figure because we have all this grace, then what's the point of doing everything else? Well, there's reasons for that. We're getting into this mid-act crowd. So if you think that it can't happen to you, anybody on the list right now, and anybody that's going to listen to this later, be careful. Because when you think you're standing, take heed, lest you fall. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. I think one of the harder things about us falling is sometimes we don't realize we've fallen. Maybe we need to realize we're falling, but we haven't fallen yet. I mean, how often are you in your book? How often do you listen to this stuff? How often do you remind yourself what you know and keep it from destroying your joy, even though you're still choosing to follow that sin, as he says in Romans 8, but we're still just a bad work. We continue to do those things. Some of us are forced to do that at work. Some of us are forced to do that by family. Some of us are forced to do that by our own flesh, by our choice. We just don't have it to get out. So if we think we're going to stop sinning, we know Paul knew in Romans 7. He wasn't going to stop doing that stuff. He tried, and he fought himself all the time. 1 Timothy 3:7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, we're talking about a Bible leader here, a pastor, a deacon or whatever, or just somebody who's... Now get into that whole thing about being the pastor stuff. But still, we who work out there, and as a pastor, when I was actually having a flock to pastor over, and I know some of you say, oh, I'm still pastor, but whatever. It's pretty tough to have a good report of them which are without. Because if you don't play their game and go along with them, they don't have a good report of you. So you've got to find that balance. When do you draw the line to say, I don't do this and I don't go there? Unless you can explain it and dee-dee-da-da, they're not going to give you a good report. Am I saying we need to go their way? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what do we do in that outside world at the store for Pete, different Pete, Cantina Pete there, what do we do to keep that good report? You jump into the community like some pastors do. They just go out there and they get as involved in the community as they can. And is that what this is talking, having a good report of them which are without? Well, you got to find out more about what Paul says about stuff like that. Paul's the only one that tells us to avoid. Well, who do we avoid? Not have company with. Who is it that we're not to have company with? See, we forget about those things. And if you're not careful, as a pastor, they can fall under reproach and the snare of the devil. Same thing can happen to us. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. Paul would love to visit with us. Paul would love us to read this Bible. God would love us to read Paul's. This is how Paul comes unto us, as we have, not into, but unto us. This is how Paul teaches us, as we go to him and he comes to us. Once and again, you keep going back to this Bible. But Satan hindered us. So here's Paul, you know, with what he has to say to people, and Satan hindered him. So do we put our fingers together, make a cross, and go, you know, get away, Satan, like they do on TV and the movies? That doesn't work. Get into your Bible? Sure you do. But this Satan character is going to do what he can to hinder what we have to learn from Paul. And I'll just say it again, because I don't think we realize the difficulty. Paul would have gone back and talked to these people again, once and again. He would love to go back and keep teaching them, but Satan hindered him. So if Satan can hinder Paul, he can certainly hinder us. We've got a book. How can he hinder the book? He can't hinder the book, but he can hinder us from getting into it and studying this stuff through. So, that's the introduction. So, when we look at this thing, we're going to try to look at some scriptural things, and they're in there. Not just my opinion. Who cares about my opinion anyway? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. So, why do people just suddenly just get tired of this stuff and just drop it? What happens? Let's look at Romans 1, verse 21, and I know what this is talking about contextually, but you know, I was just looking at this thing thinking, why does this have to just be from somebody who was born in verse 19 where it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, and it goes back, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. In other words, there's a time we knew we needed to know, and we're born knowing about God. God makes himself manifest, and there comes a time where then sin becomes real, and then we die. Romans 7 talks about that. But I just read through this thing, and let's look at somebody. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. When somebody says, well, what are you going to do about those jungle folks? What do you do about the people in town that have never heard anything like out here? In the Midwest, where they've had church coming out of their ears and conservative religion. What about them? Well, they're without excuse. Well, when did they find out? They were born knowing what they needed to know about God. And somebody unteached them. They were untaught. They were taught away from it. Well, welcome to parenting. You know, they say those littler years, those years of the beginning years, are the most important for them because they get their personalities established. They get their old nature established by how the parents live the family and the life. Well, that's true. By the time they get to school, they've already been taught out of God. So they're still without excuse. So that's what that's all about. But my question here, go down to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, now look at this. We're talking about people here that know God. You've got a book, you read that book, and he's talking to you. These are words from his mouth. And Paul's books are words from the risen Savior. I still like to ask people, I say, do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again? Oh, yeah, not a problem. Well, do you believe that he talks to us and teaches us anything since he rose? Well, no. We get all of his teachings out of the Gospels. Well, dear friend, why would you want to go back to what he taught to the Jews when he specifically said, don't take this to the Gentiles? And he rejected that Gentile woman until she exhibited her faith. And then why would we reject what the risen Savior teaches to us, and here comes the dangerous words, through Paul? That just shuts down the conversation. They hear the word Paul, and they've been so preached against Paul that P-A-U-L, that's a four-letter dirty word to most Christians today, Paul. Well, because the devil's made certain that there's confusion amongst Paul. You got the mid-acts, you got the hypers, you got the even our crowd that doesn't learn something quite right, and they go out there and they let it rip and they talk to people about it, and it gets people confused, and then you get confused, and after a while you quit, or you fall into all these different things we're going to talk about. And then it says here, back to Romans 1, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. There's school right there, Bible school, Bible college. I mean, they just make you become vain. They teach all these things, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And I can see some of this in the folks that go back. I'll go through my list again. They give up. They quit. They walk away. They change back to the power of Satan. They change back to darkness. They turn their ears from the truth. They don't believe anymore. They reject it. Why is that? That's what we're looking at here. So, they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Now, how? Well, think about it. They say he can't possibly take care of the law. He can't possibly do what Paul says. Well, why not? Because we can't fathom God. All we can fathom is how we would handle it. Well, yeah, we'd make people stop sinning. If I was God, I'd make them stop. I'd spank, like we do our kids. I'd spank them. I'd beat them to death. I would take everything away from them. I would yell at them, blah, 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 what parents do. And what happens to the kids? They leave when they get a chance. Not that you should give them everything because it becomes spoiled. Oh, wait a minute. Christ really did do everything for us, didn't he?
I wonder if that means we could possibly be spoiled. Yeah, quite easily. So we don't, you know, you find a spoiled person. He doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do. No matter what his dad or the king or whoever the leadership is, whatever it is, the spoiled kid, they don't have to do what the parents say. They got the money, they've got the car, they've got the time, they just don't have to do what they have to do, what they still should do because they're part of that family. Well, we kind of the same thing. Because Paul says, okay, now that you're saved, here's what you can do to please God. And that's what Timothy and Titus are all about. Don't have to do those things. They're not. It's not the law. But these are the things that please God. But see, spoiled people don't do things that please their parent or their leader or their boss or their God or their father, whatever. So, we're not into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I'm not talking about that. And wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, we know that God won't give us up. You know, some of these people that go back, they go back to changing the truth of God into lie in verse 25, and they serve, worship, and serve the creature. That's themselves. We know that takes place. But I'm certainly not going to sit here and read and say, well, see, verse 25 and 26, God's going to give you up to vile affections, reprobate mind, query out, and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to do that. But still, the first part of that is we need to be really thankful that he's not going to do that to us, because it looks like that if we used to understand God, understand Paul's teachings, blah, 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 that he'd turn us into a queer lesbian stuff because we reject. It's not going to happen. Well, how do you know that's not going to happen? I've studied Paul. I've read Paul's writings. That isn't going to happen. That's what we would do to somebody. So these people have taken God and they made him like unto themselves. Like made into an image made like to corruptible man. Why doesn't God bless me for doing what I was doing? Because I would. That was a good thing I did. That was a good thing I said. I would give myself a reward. Well, he's going to, just not now. I did something wrong. I would spank myself for it. I know God's not going to. He'll put that work you did through the judgment seat of Christ. He took your spanking. They can't see God any different than they are as a person. And if they can, they're not thankful. And then that could be one of the ways that we fizzle out of this thing, but that was not my intent here. It was just to show that there are people that go away. And one more time, Romans 11, for our newbies out there, Romans chapter 11 here, we've got to go to that again. I repeat myself a lot. I've repeated myself a lot for 13 years, haven't I, Grandma Kinch? And we're finally starting to get it. 13 years, like we started the Paul thing about 8 years ago. But again, Romans 11:22, where he says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity," that's the Jews, Old Testament gospel, "but toward thee, goodness," that's the Gentiles, "if thou continue in his goodness," that's the Gentiles nation, "otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Read the whole context, that's the Gentiles. That's not a person, that's the Gentiles. One of these days, God's going to shut this Paul thing down and go right back to the law for the tribulation people. That's what it says. And it's all talked about in Hebrews to Jude. So, we know that's coming. We know people are going to reject. We know people are going to turn their ears. We know people are going to reject and give up and quit. We know they're going to walk away and they're changing. They're going to change back to the other way if they go that far back. Maybe somebody just kind of quits and doesn't become a really bad person, but they still don't want to hear this stuff anymore and they think they're still a good, honorable person. Well, what about that? Well, I got some things here. I know you can't see it on the notes, but the notes aren't there, but I got a whole page full of stuff I was thinking about when I went to the went down to the base of the Badlands yesterday and just sat there with the buffalo and the prairie dogs and jotted some thoughts down. It was raining. I was hoping for one of those big Midwestern thunderstorms to come through, but they didn't. But and the buffalo stayed where they were supposed to. I was happy with that. You guys stay there. I'm not here to bother you. I just came up a bunch of things here that why would this happen? What's going on in our lives? Well, I'll start some of them tonight. So, come on back tonight. Do your best. Well, I just got to put out a plug for Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights is such a small crowd. I love the people that come, and I know y'all listen to them later. And I know PAL is still, PAL Talk is still, if you have their freebie, you got all these ads popping up and you could hide them, I guess. I know it's frustrating. Bob sent us, or Bill, Bob or Bill, sent us a thing to look at that might be a good free program, and it's not. It's still full of ads and crummy junk. So some of you that have paid for it don't have the ads. To me, that in itself is worth everything, but the video is there. If anybody wants to go back to video, you can see how much I've changed over the years. But we'll continue more of these tonight. Why would people do that? What's going on here? Do they just wake up one morning, I'm done? No, it's all a small, one step at a time thing, and there's some things that we as pastors or preachers or teachers or whatever, as fathers, as husbands or whatever, and there's things going on. It's interesting to me because everything's in that book. Why would he say that if you don't want to continue in God's goodness, the goodness of God, then he goes and tells us how that can happen. That book's totally full of everything. It's a marvelous book. And if I do anything, I just want to lift up the book and the Word of God and the words of God, the words of the risen Savior, as well as the words of the earthly Jesus to the Jews, as well as the Old Testament, and as well as what's coming in the tribulation for people. It just assures us that we're okay. We still got that lousy sin in us, and we'll talk about that tonight.